We're in the book of Ruth. We're going through God's providence, the right choice. Now, I titled that, The Right Choice, in the book of Ruth. There's four chapters, and so each week we're going a chapter at a time. So we're in our second week in chapter two. But I wrote a book based on the book of Ruth, and that's what I called it, The Right Choice. But in that right choice, we see God's providence or God's hand upon Naomi, upon Boaz, and upon Ruth in this situation. And I use that as a character study and what it is for a man to be a man who is got the characteristics of being a good husband and marrying a woman. Or maybe if you're already married, the kind of characteristics you need to develop to have a successful and to have a marriage that'll last. And the same for the women. What kind of woman would you want to choose to be your wife? Well, as you look at Ruth and her characteristics, you glean from that. Or if you're already in marriage, what to develop as a woman. So to me, it's a powerful, powerful book dealing with us as believers and the kind of people that we need to be in relationship with one another. Whether you're single and you may be married at one point, or maybe you're engaged, or maybe you're already married. These are timeless characteristics that we're to develop. And so we see that all throughout the book of Ruth. And to me, it's just really an incredible book. And it's kind of a drama as well. I mean, if they made a good movie from this, I mean, it would really be an incredible movie. Now, we've already dealt with chapter one, and it's been about 10 years or over 10 years since Naomi left Bethlehem with her family, her husband, Elimelech, and her two sons, and they went to the land of Moab because there was a famine in Jerusalem. And so they went over there. Maybe Elimelech was feared for his family. He went over to maybe make a living over there, but he died in Moab. The boys got married, and then the boys died. And so it's been about 10 years. And so Naomi hears that there's now food in Bethlehem. So she goes back with one of her daughter-in-laws, Ruth. Ruth said, "Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die." So you see this incredible commitment by this woman, but she's going to go to a foreign land where Moabites are looked down on. And you can see that in the Old Testament. In the law, you can see that. Yet here is a special lady with, and the reason why is the Moabites, when Israel was going through the wilderness, wanting to go into the promised land, they came against Israel. And so they had a good record of opposing Israel. And so God was opposing them at that point as a nation. But always in a nation that might be kind of a wayward nation, a nation without God, there's always people in it. There's always a remnant that God has. There's always good people in there that God uses for his glory. And that's what's happening here. All the family dies. And so here, Naomi and Ruth are coming back into Bethlehem. And they say, "Oh, this is Naomi." Her name means pleasant. She said, "Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter, Mara, because God has dealt, he's dealt a harsh blow upon my life, and I'm a bitter woman. I went out full, I've come in empty." And, you know, I think in our life, there's always those places where we feel empty. We feel like maybe the Lord abandoned us, or we feel like, why is God doing this to me? Is he judging me? Am I doing something wrong? And usually that self-look, that evaluation of self, we're always going to get depressed when we look at ourselves and we look within. In those times, it's important to look up. Because at this point, Naomi wasn't looking up. Because it was, can you imagine your husband dying? He wants to take you to try to survive from the famine that's in Bethlehem. And so he goes to this place, and yet he dies. And then the boys, you know, they're single, so Naomi marries them off to Moabite women, and then the boys die. And can you imagine the hurt, the pain? And then she's saying, she's selfless, she's saying, girls, go back to your families and marry. You know, I have no children in my womb. I couldn't produce a child now. I'm going back to Bethlehem. And so Ruth sticks with her and says, I'm going with you. But at this point, she is in a low place, a very low place. But you know, one of the things, when you follow the Lord long enough, no matter how low your place or no matter how high your place, those high places, they become low places to test you and the enemy tempting you. But then you go on with God and you find that he brings you out of those low places to a high place. Well, Naomi, she's in a low place, a very low place. And yet God is going to bring her into a very special place, a incredible place. And so if it's true for Naomi, and it's true in this situation, it's true for you. Don't give up. I mean, we so easily give up because we get so emotionally involved in certain things, we miss God. We don't realize God is in the mix of all of our situations. And don't depend upon emotion. Don't depend upon feelings, because they can often lead you astray. When you begin to do that and go away from the Lord, you jump into the Word of God, jump into the Psalms, and you pray this through the Psalms. You put yourself in David's place, because he went through some of the deepest emotional downers of anyone, and yet God brought him out of that. So you're going to find that with this situation. So in chapter 2, we'll go a few verses at a time and then commentate on it. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one whose sight I might find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So here is something interesting. Boaz, he stayed in Bethlehem when there was the famine. He stayed and he prospered. In this, Bethlehem is called House of Bread, but there was a famine there. And also Judah, he was of the tribe of Judah, and Judah, that's the land of praise, but he stayed there, you know, and he prospered there in spite of the famine conditions. I think in hard times, it really proves us. It proves our faith and it proves who we are. We're going to either rise or fall at that point. I'm not saying Ahimelech fell, but somehow he went out of the land. God's providence was right there as we read this story. His providence is there. You may have made some big mistakes in your life. God's providence is there. You stick with the Lord. You follow him, even though you feel like you're in a foreign land and it feels like you're sinking. No, God is there. Now, he's a kinsman redeemer, or a goel. That's the term. And the kinsman, or the goel, that's the term in the Hebrew, is a redeemer, or a protector, a defender, one who restores. And so in the Jewish economy, when maybe the head of the house died, then the goel, or the one that was the closest kin, would come and rescue, would protect, would actually marry that widow and raise up a child unto the son that died. And so that is what we're seeing here. He's a kinsman. Boaz is. Now, the providence of God, when we talk about the providence of God, it is really the protection and care that God gives, working on our behalf, working in their lives. There's no more of a destitute situation than these two women. And just watch how God's providence brings them to a high place. Now, the going in to glean, because they didn't have a welfare system back then, and so God provided for those that were widows and orphans and those that didn't have anything. But they had to go into the field and glean. In fact, the law, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 says, "Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field." So here is somebody that's got fields and crops, and so when you harvest, don't harvest all of it. Leave the corners open. "Neither shall you gather the gleanings," in other words, what you drop on the ground, "of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God." So there is the welfare system, but they had to go into these fields, these vineyards, and pick up what was dropped on the ground and then bring it home, and you live on that. That was their basically their welfare system. Now, Boaz, now he's a kinsman. We don't know. It doesn't say he's the brother of Elimelech. He could be a cousin, but he was of the same clan, same family tree, closest of kin. Notice how God is putting these pieces of the puzzle together. Really interesting. Now, it was very dangerous for an attractive foreign woman to glean in an unfamiliar field. Very dangerous. Because there were shady characters there, even in Bethlehem, even in Israel, even in those who claim to be God's people, corrupt reapers, gangs that would stalk maybe these women, these foreign women, take advantage of them, even rape them. That could be very common back then. And if possible, with these vulnerable women, especially Ruth, it was a dangerous place to be. And so God's hand of protection is upon Ruth at this time. I like that. You know, even in this dangerous place with these predators. You know, the Bible tells us about this. In fact, in Psalms 34, 7, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. So ministering angels sent forth on behalf of the heirs of salvation are surrounding. You know, we had a car when we were down at the Empress Theater. If you know that Empress Theater, it's right on the corner of Baratania and Nuuanu. And it has the doors, you know, it was a theater. And it has all these doors that go into the theater, double doors, glass doors. And I got a call on Christmas, and a car had rammed right in to the middle of the entryway. And when I got down there, the tow truck was pulling the car out of the front of our building. That was amazing. The police were there and they were saying, "Boy, you were lucky you weren't having a service there." And but when this happened, and then I turned to Psalm 34, verse 7. The angels of the Lord encamp around those who are his. And if it was people there, then the angel would have steered that car away, I believe, not going right into the crowd or right into the front of the building. And so you find that Naomi and Ruth, they were destitute. They were at the point maybe of starvation. They had nothing. She says, "I went out full, I came back empty, with nothing. No government assistance, no welfare, no one to support them that they know of. It's just God's providence, God's hand upon them." So they'd have to go and glean, and Naomi is too old to do that, so Ruth does it. Into someone's field, they don't know whose field it is. It's God's hand leading, his providence, and pick up what is dropped on the ground, you know, as they're harvesting. And so Ruth goes to glean. It's interesting that she is a woman. She's a woman that's willing to work. Very important. When you look at Proverbs 31, and these are some of the characteristics of the women that are godly women, kind of women that, whether they be single or whether they be married, are the kind of women that you look for in the, you know, in marriage or looking to be married. They're like the Proverbs 31 woman. Verse 13, it says, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She's industrious. That's not always true in the world. Back then and even today, you know, some are starlets and some like to be, fawned over and stuff, but not Ruth. And also, it's the same with Abraham. Remember when he sent his servant to get a wife for Isaac, his son? And so the servant said, Lord, just show me who it might be, because I don't know. I don't know which woman to pick for my master's son. And the Bible says in Genesis 24, 12, it said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And by this I shall know that thou hast shown loving kindness to my master. That's exactly what happens. And that was Rebekah that came out, that godly woman. You see, it's interesting in a woman, a wife, a single woman, that she be industrious. She not just want to kick back and let others do for her what she could do for herself or that she could do for others. Well, he goes on, verse 3. We'll go down to verse 4. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field. Now, this is Ruth gleaning in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. It just happened to be the providence of God. It came to Boaz's field, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. Now, Ruth, first of all, she asked permission of Naomi. Can I go to glean in the field? Asking for permission to glean. Because it was harvest time and it was almost over. And so there's just a small window of time to go in there for the food and not to go hungry. So she was willing to do that. Now, Ruth was willing. She was productive when you see what she did bring back to Naomi. And she was conscientious. She's a self-starter. That's the kind of woman that you want to be, especially if you're looking for a wife, or you are a wife, you want to be that kind of woman. But Boaz, what's the kind of man you want to be? Well, look at Boaz. He's honored by his workers because he honors them. Notice that, may the Lord be with you. And then they say, may the Lord bless you. So he's an honorable man. And if you want respect, you've got to give respect. And so Boaz does. The Bible says, each of you in humility esteem or regard one another better than yourself. That's in Philippians 2:3. You see, a good name is more desired than great riches, the Bible says. And it's better than silver and in gold. And that's what Boaz has. He has a good name. It's important. We develop a good name over time. We can ruin our reputation by how we act and how we talk. And we can also ruin other people by treating them badly, taking them for granted, or maybe even looking down on them as they are less than us. He's the master. They're the workers. But notice the respect that he gives to them. That's the kind of people, that's the kind of men we need to be. He doesn't look at them as less than him, but he grants them honor. And not alienating them, not driving them, but looking on them as, you know, helping him out in his gleaning and in his crops. You see, when we treat others with respect, when we esteem them highly, esteem people, giving them value, that's how we model what Boaz is doing. I have to admit, sometimes I can get very angry at certain things that I think are unjust or and all, and I could go off on somebody, and then I'm ashamed that I did it. And I realize, gee, I'm teaching this very thing. And I know what it is. I can teach it, but can I live it? You can hear it, but do you want to live it? It's up to you. And if you blow it, then you have to come back and say, Lord, that's not right. I've got to make it right. Lord, I want to be what Boaz is modeling here. Now, the providence of God has Ruth in the right place, at the right time, with the right person. The Bible says, man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It's really an amazing thing to look at this and meditate on this and just see how God has put all these pieces together, all these people together. And he does that for you. He does that for me. We all have a history with God. And as you follow the Lord long enough, you'll look back and you'll see the history and how God has brought you this far. Sometimes you went down a blind alley, God brought you back, or used that blind alley to teach you and to bring you into something that is better and greater. He always does that as we follow him. He never fails. I mean, didn't we sing that? His promises are yes and amen. Well, he goes on, verse 5, we'll go down to verse 7. Now Boaz said to his servants, who was in charge of the reapers? Whose young woman is this? So it takes him by surprise. Sees Ruth. He looks at her, sees her. Wow, she's industrious. She's really working hard. And the servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, she is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. She's resting for a little while. But she came when we started, and now at the end, she's still there. It's interesting that Boaz notices her and inquires about her. He notices her. He makes that move. He initiates. That's usually what the man does. He initiates. He pays attention to her in a good way. It's always important that a man pay attention to a woman who's beautiful and industrious in a good way. Because there were scoundrels there in that field looking for what they could get from a woman. Always those kind of guys around, aren't there? So pay attention to a woman for what? For what would a guy like that do? For immoral reasons? Oh, yeah. A lot of guys do that. Looking for an opportunity to take advantage of her? Yeah, a lot of guys are like that. You see, the Bible says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. That's what Boaz is doing. He sees her. She's beautiful. She's industrious. And he looks out for her. He looks out for her interest. That's a good quality in a man. That's the kind of guy that we want to be. Notice verse 8, go down to verse 9. Then Boaz said to Ruth, no, here's their first encounter. Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. Notice that, because he knows what guys will do. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. So one quality in a man that stands out among women is kindness. A woman will always look for kindness. Sometimes you see these beautiful women, and it seems like they're with a guy that he's not very good looking. He's kind of nerdy. Yeah, but he's kind. And that's the attraction. Beauty fades. Being handsome fades. You know, all that is, it's fine for a while, but then you overlook that and you look into the deeper part of the individual. And so that kindness, the Bible says, what is desirable in a man is his kindness. And that's Boaz. He looks out for her, protects her, tells her where to glean and where to get water, instructs his workers, don't mess with her, don't touch her. You see, he's a shield, he's a protector. That's a Goel. That's exactly what he is. The Goel, that kinsman, redeemer. And he doesn't have any ulterior motives. Very important when people get together that they don't have ulterior motives. Marry, yes, to marriage, to marry. And yeah, there's a physical component to it. But you see, if you respect each other, if you're honorable to each other, you wait till you're married. You see, if you can't trust the person when you're not married to get together physically and sexually, how are you going to trust them when you get married? You can't. That's why God said, wait. And that's really who Boaz is here. He's a shield. And without ulterior motives. And he makes her feel secure in his presence. Secure. Not like he's after something. Verse 10 goes on. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? One of the things about Ruth that we love so much that you can see in her, Ruth responds to Boaz, responds to his kindness with unspoiled innocence. Unspoiled innocence. A woman in whom there is no guile. You could see that in women. My wife is like that. I mean, all this is my wife, you know, but I don't want to embarrass her. But you see, here Ruth is unpretentious, inexperienced in coarser kind of things in life. She's got a childlike quality about her. You can glean that. You could read that. As you go through that, you see that in her. She thinks less of herself than what Boaz and others see in her. That's really quite a quality. Because a lot of women, they like to parade themselves around. You know, they get all dressed up. And it's not bad to get dressed up. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But some have that motive, you know, to wow the guys. But it's all physical. You see, really a guy that's worth having is a guy that looks for the spiritual, looks for the deeper things. And a guy that is worth having, the woman, looks for the deeper things in him, like Boaz. Now, when you think of Ruth, she's much like Mary, isn't she? The mother of Jesus. Remember, Mary was so surprised when Gabriel came to her and said, favored one of the Lord. You're favored of the Lord. You're chosen to bear the Messiah. And she said, how could I find such favor with the Lord? She was just like Ruth here. This precious quality of this wide-eyed innocence is what they both had. Not phony, not fake, but it was real. Goes on, verse 11 and 12. And Boab answered and said to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge, or that protection. So Ruth had a reputation. We all have reputations, but Ruth had that. And Boab, he appreciates Ruth, which endears her to him. He knew of her kindness and how her sacrifice. He's taken an interest in her. He studied her. Not just looking at the outward. He studied her. He looked into what she had done and who she was in her past. He's acquainted with that. And he speaks of her hidden qualities. Her hidden qualities. Not just she's a beautiful woman, but notices her sacrificial love to her mother-in-law, Naomi, when Naomi's husband died. And also when Ruth's husband died, still there's pain in that. And yet at the same time, she came with Naomi to a land that she didn't know, and a land that was not really, maybe not hostile to her, but really not, maybe not too welcoming of her. But because of her character, because of who she was in her demeanor and all, she was favored with Boaz, who was really a man of reputation there in Bethlehem. Now, he praised her. He blessed her for her godly character. And then in verse 13, then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. In other words, I'm a foreigner. I'm from a land that Israel's not really pleased with. And so Ruth, she's thankful to Boaz and confesses that he has been a comfort to her. He has been a strength to her. She's grateful for such undeserved favor. Notice the relationship that's happening. It's not all physical. There's something about the deeper part of an individual that keeps them together for a lifetime. It keeps them together for a lifetime. And so Ruth, she is self-deprecating. I'm not like your maidservants. She sees herself less than how Boaz sees her, less than the maidservants there. She sees herself that way, as lowly, as, you know, she just humbles herself. And yet others see her the complete opposite. At least Boaz does. I'm sure Naomi does. Ruth has this hidden modesty. It doesn't come out. Doesn't brag on herself. Actually, even unaware of her real beauty. And most often, those that have that real beauty, they're unaware of it. And sometimes they will self-deprecate like Ruth is doing. That they kind of look at maybe the flaws in them or what they think are flaws. And yet at the same time, there's real beauty there. And that's applied, you might apply Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to Ruth. For through the grace given to me, I say to every woman among you, not to think more highly of herself than she ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Well, she does. That's her. I know I put the feminine in there where it is the masculine, but that's her. You see, she has an unspoiled quality about her. She didn't think highly of herself. She didn't exalt herself. She didn't brag on what she did for her mother-in-law, you know, really supporting her and all these things. Didn't tell her that your people will be my people. Where you die, I will. Didn't go through all that. We have that because we see that. But she didn't think she was worthy of the special attention that she was getting. And again, often women that are like that, they don't think they're worthy of that special attention, yet they are. You see, I find those who deserve appreciation, they don't seek it. But they really should get appreciation. We have so many people in this church, men and women, that they don't seek the appreciation, but they sure deserve it. And they don't want it. No, don't give me the praise. Don't give God the praise. And yet at the same time, boy, there's just a quality in that life. You see, God's providence, he brings around those who do see that quality and do praise that, maybe to them, maybe to others, because they wouldn't do it for themselves. Ruth wouldn't do it for herself, but certainly Boaz does. And Boaz is going to lift her to a very high place, a very high level in Bethlehem. And you're going to see that in the whole genealogy of the Messiah. Just an amazing story. That's why if you did a movie on this, maybe they have done a movie, but I don't know. You can't. Sometimes movies will never match what the Bible says. You know, in my imagination, I think you got to go far beyond anything to really match what the Scripture's saying, to try to get the essence of it when you see that. But it's very fitting for God to bring in his providence Boaz to Ruth and begin to sing his praises of her, although she doesn't feel like she deserves it. Then verse 14, we have, "And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left." Notice Boaz is serving her. You know, I don't know husbands serving wives, or when you get a guy who's your boyfriend, or you look at guys, are they servants? Would they serve you? Are they expecting you to serve them? But I like this characteristic of Boaz. He's considerate. He's considerate to women, considerate to Ruth, and honors her. Notice in front of others, he's the master. But he takes that servant position and serves her, and that's in front of the rest. You think maybe they, after, you know, it was all over, they went and said, "Did you see what our master did, Boaz did? This woman, she's from Moab. Yeah, she's a good worker. Yeah, she's a nice looker, but he served her." You know, and so the talk of the town or with these reapers were that this man, this master, humbled himself to serve this woman that is from Moab, this Moabite. Isn't that what Jesus did to the disciples? Where they didn't get up and wash one another's feet. Usually the servant would do that, but there wasn't a servant in that upper room. And so Jesus took a towel, girded himself about, and began to wash the disciples' feet. You see, that is something that we need to not just learn and read about, but we need to practice that. That's important, guys. A guy that's worthy of being a Christian man. I remember Chuck in one of his sermons, he said that he doesn't drink coffee, but Kay does drink coffee. And so that's his wife, Kay. And so Chuck would get up in the morning, he would make the coffee, and then he would serve it to his wife, to Kay, but he didn't drink coffee. And so I just thought, well, that's interesting, you know, he's a servant there, serving his wife. I won't tell the Hebrew story. Told it to the guys. Well, maybe I will. The wife would always get up, and she would make the coffee, and then the husband would get up and drink the coffee, and that was part of the routine. And then the lady, she got saved, and she was reading the Bible, and she just loved it. She loved it. And then one morning, he got up, and the coffee wasn't made. And he goes, "I thought you're supposed to make the coffee. You've made it for all these years, every day." She says, "Yeah, I've been reading the Bible. You're supposed to be making it." He says, "What do you mean?" She said, "It's right there in the Bible, Hebrews." I had to tell it Monday because I knew one of the guys that's teaching Hebrews would eventually tell the story, but that is kind of an old joke. But, you know, the idea is serving others, and Boaz did that. He goes on, verse 14, as we mentioned here, that she was eating with the reapers. And so that considerate act that he's doing. And then verse 15, "And when she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her,'" verse 16, "'and also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.'" So you have to realize that those guys that were gleaning were pretty hard on the ladies. And so Boaz is giving instructions, and he's unashamedly devoted and considerate of Ruth. Unashamedly. Don't be ashamed to show tenderness and gentleness, guys, to your wife. Or, you know, guys should be that way to ladies. And even, notice, he's even telling the servants to pull out the grain and leave it behind. Take it out of your bundles and leave it on the ground so that she could pick it up. You know, they're destitute. She could pick it up and take it home to her mother-in-law. And so he makes it known his favor toward Ruth. He doesn't hide it. He's not ashamed of it, and he's not ashamed to tell of it. And, you know, when you think about that, you think about Boaz being, in a sense, a type of Christ. Isn't that what Jesus does with us? The Bible says he's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. That's in Hebrews chapter 2. Guys will get to that. You see, it's not a weakness to express feelings toward those that you love, to express those things. Sometimes guys think I don't want to show that because it'll show my weakness. And so sometimes guys are cold. They're unmoved, stoic, macho. And so macho, that attitude of being macho, it can be a sign of insecurity, you know, guys. Insecurity. And I'm a little insecure there, I have to say. I've got guys that I've been with for years in Calvary Chapel. And the guys, I won't name them, but the guys that will email back and forth. And sometimes the guys will say, "I love you," to me in the email, because we're close. And I go, "We love you too." It's hard for me to say, "I love you." You know, it puts me right there in the spot. So I'm kind of timid in saying that at times, but, you know, got to get over that. You know, my insecurities, you know, we've got to be able to say, you know, "I love you," because we do. We're going to be with each other for all eternity. And if Jesus can say, "I love you, Bill," I should be able to say, "I love you," put your name in there. So I know some of you comics are going to come up afterwards and say, "Bill, I love you." Let me hear your response. Well, I'll say it right now. "I love you." Blanket. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Now, when you think about Jesus, when he wept over the tomb of Lazarus, you know, I mean, that really shows love. That shows vulnerability, and Jesus does that. When you read Paul's letters, his heart just comes out, how he loves the church. He loves the people. And it's so amazing how, you know, we want to be that way as a church. One of the things we prayed for, we have our staff meeting every Wednesday, and that's one of the things we prayed for, you know, that love just permeate our church and our people, and that people will know us, as the scripture says, by our love one for another. But first of all, it's a love for the Lord. And we show that love for the Lord in our worship time. Some of the songs I don't know that well, so I just kind of read the words. You know, I'm not used to those songs, but most of them I do know. And I like to sing loud. I like to sing to the Lord. And it's really, it really fills our heart and our life with his presence. He inhabits the praises of his people. So if you want to love him more, sing loud, sing clear, sing the words. He inhabits those praises. And in so doing, we can love one another in a greater way. So really important here. And Paul, just read his letters and you'll see it. And don't be ashamed of public expressions of praise and affection toward those that you love. Boaz wasn't ashamed of that, especially toward Ruth. I know that you know, as brothers, we hug each other, you know, and that kind of thing. But you know, usually don't necessarily do that in public. But you know, you do it with your friends. Well, we come to an end here. Let me read this last part, 17 to 23. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah, that's about 6 gallons that she did, of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she had satisfied herself. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I worked today was Boaz." And Naomi, boy, was she excited, said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again, Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth, the Moabitess, said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in other fields." Notice, dangerous place. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So here, this is good. We end here kind of on a positive note, because Ruth is diligent. She's very diligent in gleaning. Notice it's from morning to evening. That's where she was with them, morning till evening. You know, sun comes up, the sun goes down. It's a 12-hour day. It's a long time that she's there. Proverbs 13:4 says, "The soul of the diligent shall be made fat." And that's exactly what happens here. God rewards hard work. And Ruth, these example to tell us that a diligent woman is a godly woman. Sometimes husbands will think that their wives nag them. "Ah, you're always asking me to do this." Well, she's diligent. She wants things to be right. Get over it. Start serving her. And so here, this single woman, Ruth, she's a diligent lady. And there's reward for hard work. Again, Proverbs 31. She is like a Proverbs 31 woman. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Really, a description of Ruth. She is just like that. Now, let me end off here and make a comment about the next chapter. There are 50 days from wheat harvest to Pentecost. 50 days. The barley harvest was 2 to 3 weeks before the wheat harvest. Ruth, she gleaned during both barley and wheat harvest. All those weeks, she gleaned. She was persistent. She was faithful. She was diligent. Never saying, "This is too hard." Not complaining. "I'm sick. I can't come in. I'm tired. I quit." She didn't do that. So often we get sniffles and we go, "I can't come in. I've got sniffles." Well, that's not how Ruth was in Boaz's field. Naomi is now realizing. She said, "God's hand is now upon me. He left me, his hand is upon me. And providence is here. God's leading in the difficult circumstances. But now I've come back, what I said empty, but now God is working all things together for good," even though they didn't have that scripture back then, that scripture in Romans. But God's protective care is happening. She's seeing that. It's unfolding. And it'll do so for you too. We get prayer requests, and people are in very difficult situations. And I pray, "God, let your providence prevail in their life." You see, that providence, that protective care, God, he's leading in difficult circumstances. That's what he does. And that's what Naomi is finding out, working all things to good for the glory of God, for those that love him. And Naomi loves God. She's just in a difficult place. She's just complaining. And complaining is not the unpardonable sin. We all complain, but then we come back to the Lord and say, "Lord, I am so sorry for complaining. And Lord, you are so good." So she came back empty, but now she's being filled, and even greater, even greater. God's providence at work in the bleakest situations. And yet, there are still obstacles. There are still things that she's going to have to exercise faith and belief in God to bring to pass. We'll deal with that next time. But read ahead, chapter 3. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your providence. Lord, we read it back. We read it back in the days of Ruth and Boaz and Naomi. And we like that because we could read through these four chapters. And they lived happily ever after, we see. But in our life, boy, it's faith. We have to exercise faith. And I know that I have been there. And I've felt the bleakest times. And I didn't think it'll ever turn out. And yet it did. And I have to apologize to you in those times. But Lord, I thank you that you do. You come through in all situations. But Lord, just help us keep on keeping on, trusting you in all things. We just thank you, we praise you for your word tonight. And Lord, as our prayer team comes up after the service to pray for people, Lord, those that need prayer, our pastors come up, and our leaders come up to pray. Lord, I do pray that you would just meet the needs of your people. We thank you, in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. All right, God bless.